Good evening, and welcome once again to Brush Up Your Shakespeare, where we make Shakespeare fun and easy, the way it was always meant to be. This is episode 9, and today, still in Hamlet, we will be concluding the second part of Act 2, Scene 2, which also happens to be the end of Act 2 itself. The line for today is, the play's the thing. Say it with me now, the play's the thing. And one more time, the play's the thing. If you want extra credit, you can memorize the rest of the line. The play's the thing, wherein I'll catch the conscience of the king. This is actually the very last line of this scene, and it also concludes one of Hamlet's most powerful soliloquies. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Act 2, Scene 2, the scene we're in, is an enormously long scene, which is why we have divided it up into two parts for this podcast. In the In the first part of Scene 2, which we covered last week, the king and queen sent for Hamlet's old schoolmate chums, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, to spy on Hamlet and try to get out of him why it is he's acting so strangely. Polonius tells the king and queen that he has figured out that Hamlet is acting so oddly because of his unrequited love for Polonius's daughter, Ophelia. Polonius has a strange encounter with Hamlet, where Hamlet says very strange things in response to Polonius's questions. And yet Polonius senses there is some method in his madness. Hamlet meets up with Rosencrantz and Guildenstern and quickly figures out that they were sent for by the king and queen in order to spy on him. And then, where we left off last time, a traveling acting troupe rolls into the castle. Once again, actors in the time period were often called players. And finally, though I haven't mentioned it yet, the name of the castle is Elsinore, which is why Hamlet says to the players, "Gentlemen, you are welcome to Elsinore." This part of the play is perhaps unique in all of Hamlet because this is where we actually get to see Hamlet being happy. Not only does Hamlet know the players, he also knows something about the theater. He knows about the pieces the players perform, the plays they perform, and has even committed some of those lines to memory. We don't have to guess that Hamlet is happy, by the way. He tells us. He says, "You are welcome, masters. Welcome all. I am glad to see thee well. Welcome, good friends." We see Hamlet joking and kidding with the players, and we get a sense of what Hamlet might have been like before tragedy struck with the untimely death of his father. We see why it is the masses may have adored Hamlet, why his mother dotes on him, and why Ophelia fell in love with him. But now, Hamlet wants the players to recite a speech for him, and not just any speech. Hamlet knows the speech he wants to hear, and even recites the beginning of the speech so the players will know the one he wants. He says, "We'll have a speech straight," or in other words, right away. "Come, give us a taste of your quality. Come, a passionate speech." He's excited. He's enthusiastic. He's happy. The speech Hamlet has the player recite is critical to understanding why Hamlet responds to it the way he does. The speech is long and flowery and quite wonderful in places, but what we need to know is that the speech is about Priam's slaughter. Who is Priam? That's P-R-I-A-M. He was the king of Troy. The speech recites how Troy was burning after the Greeks made it inside the walls. Yes, this is a scene from the Trojan War. Priam gets hacked to bits in front of his wife. His wife's name is Hecuba, and she is, of course, horrified to see her husband sliced and diced. Hecuba, H-E-C-U-B-A, is the name you need to remember from this speech because it will recur in Hamlet's soliloquy thereafter. In fact, the player is so involved in his speech that he actually begins to cry when he gets to the part about how distraught Hecuba was to see such a scene. Polonius even comments on it. He says, "Look, where has Polonius even comments on it. Polonius even comments on it. He says, look where he has not turned his color and has tears in his eyes. The player finishes his speech, and Hamlet wants a private word with this player who have... The player finishes his speech, and Hamlet wants a private word with this player, who appears to be in charge of the other actors. He is denominated in the script as the first player. Hamlet has a special play. He wants the players to perform at court for the king and queen and the rest, but especially for the king. And Hamlet knows exactly what play he wants them to perform. It is called The Murder of Gonzago. Now, I've never heard of The Murder of Gonzago, and you've probably never heard of The Murder of Gonzago, but the player, the first player, has definitely heard of The Murder of Gonzago. Hamlet says, follow him, friends. We'll hear a play tomorrow. As Polonius and the players exit, Hamlet speaks to the first player. That's a scene direction in the script. And Hamlet says to him, dost thou hear me, old friend? Can you play The Murder of Gonzago? The first player says, aye, my lord. Yeah, he knows it. But Hamlet is going to change the play a bit with some creative editing of his own, because Hamlet is a playwright too. Hamlet says, we'll have it tomorrow night. Hamlet says, we'll have it tomorrow night. You could, for a need, study a speech of some dozen or 16 lines, which I would set down and insert in it, could you not? And the first player says, knowing which side of the bread is buttered for him. Okay. And the first player says, knowing which side his bread is buttered on, aye, my lord. What on earth is Hamlet up to? Why does Hamlet want to add a speech of some dozen or 16 lines to The Murder of Gonzago for it to be played tomorrow night in front of the king and queen? All this will be answered in the gorgeous soliloquy with which Hamlet ends this scene. And now we know everything we need to know to understand what Hamlet is talking about in this soliloquy. The first player and the rest exit the stage, leaving Hamlet by himself. Hamlet's happiness was fleeting, for how can he be happy when his father is roasting in hell with his... Okay. Hamlet's happiness is fleeting. Hamlet's happiness is fleeting. Yeah, I'm going to make it a is. Hamlet's happiness is fleeting, for how can he be happy when his father is roasting in hell with his murder unrevenged? And the fact that the player, got extremely emotional talking about Hecuba serves as a device for Hamlet to use in contrasting his own lack of passion regarding his father's murder. Now, let me go to the slides here, because I have put on the slides the entirety of this soliloquy, together with a few definitions which should help us understand exactly what Hamlet is getting at. He starts off by saying, now I am alone. It's just Hamlet and the audience, and he's going to tell us what's going on inside his heart and inside his mind. Oh, what a rogue and peasant slave am I. Is it not monstrous that this player here, but in a fiction, in a dream of passion, i.e., it's just a play, could force his soul so to his own conceit? And conceit there means a fictional state. It's the part the player is playing. That from her working, all his visage wand, that means his face, his visage, is pale. Tears in his eyes, distraction in his aspect, a broken voice, and his whole function suiting with forms to his conceit. This player was really pouring it on. And all for nothing. For Hecuba. What's Hecuba to him? Or he to Hecuba, that he should weep for her? I'm going to go with what's Hecuba. What's Hecuba to him, or he to Hecuba, that he should weep for her? Now Hamlet likens the player to himself. What would he do, the player, what would he do had he the motive and the cue for passion that I have? He would drown the stage with tears and cleave the general ear with horrid speech, make mad the guilty and appall the free, the innocent. Make mad the guilty and appall the free. Confound the ignorant and amaze indeed the very faculties of eyes and ears. Yet I, a dull and muddy-mettled rascal, peak like John of Dreams, unpregnant of my cause. And that expression means to lie around like an idle dreamer, not moved to action. That's how Hamlet is describing himself. And can say nothing, no, not for a king, upon whose property and most dear life a damned defeat was made. Am I a coward? Hamlet now argues that he is not a coward because nobody dares disrespect him. Who calls me villain, breaks my pate across, hits me in the head, plucks off my beard and blows it in my face, tweaks me by the nose, gives me the lie in the throat as deep as to the lungs? Who does me this, ha? Huh? Swoons, I should take it. Swoons there is an abbreviation for an old oath. It's sometimes spelled zounds, and it's a contraction for God's wounds, the wounds that Jesus Christ bore upon the cross. Swoons, I should take it, for it cannot be, but I am pigeon-livered. Hamlet concludes he is a coward after all. But I am pigeon-livered and lack gall to make oppression bitter, or ere this I should have fatted all the region kites with this slave's offal. And that means he should have fed Claudius's entrails to the local vultures. That's what kites are. They are birds who eat things like intestines. So I lack gall to make oppression bitter, or ere this I should have fatted all the region kites with this slave's offal. Bloody, bawdy, villain, remorseless, treacherous, lecherous, kindless, villain, O vengeance! Why, what an ass am I? This is most brave, that I, the son of a dear father murdered, prompted to my revenge by heaven and hell, must, like a whore, unpack my heart with words and fall a-cursing like a very drab, a scullion. Now, a drab is an old word for a whore, and a scullion is a kitchen helper. Fie upon it, foe, about my brains, which means get to work, brains. And now we get to hear Hamlet's cunning plan and why he wanted the players to perform the murder of Gonzago with some extra lines thrown in. Hum, he says. I have heard that guilty creatures sitting at a play have by the very cunning of the scene been struck so to the soul that presently they have proclaimed their malefactions. Presently means immediately. Malefactions, evil deeds. For murder, though it have no tongue, will speak with most miraculous organ. I'll have these players play something like the murder of my father before mine uncle. I'll observe his looks. I'll tent him to the quick. If he do blench, I know my course. And blench there means to flinch or react in some way to what he's seeing performed before him. Having revealed to us his plan, Hamlet now tells us why he feels this plan is necessary and why he can't just trust his father's ghost on the matter. The spirit that I have seen may be a devil, and the devil hath power to assume a pleasing shape, like the shape of Hamlet's father. Yea, and perhaps out of my weakness and my melancholy, as he is very potent with such spirits, abuses me to damn me. I'll have grounds more relative, which means relevant. I'll have grounds more relative than this. I need more evidence. The play's the thing wherein I'll catch the conscience of the king. And And that is the end of the soliloquy and the end of Act Two. Hamlet will have the... Okay. Go ahead. And that is the end of the soliloquy and the end of Act Two. Hamlet will have the players perform a ginned-up version of the murder of Gonzago at court before the king the following night. The play will resemble the murder of Hamlet's father up to and including the way the ghost said it was done by pouring poison in his ear as he slept in his orchard. If Claudius is innocent, he will view the play as a light entertainment. But if he is guilty, he will blench or flinch in some manner as he begins to wonder if he has been found out by some means. This is a brilliant move on Hamlet's part, and indeed we will see how it works out in Act Three. The only problem with Hamlet's cunning plan is that it will also signal to Claudius that somebody is aware of the fact he murdered his brother, took his crown, and married his wife. Else how could it show up in the play so exactly? Claudius will begin to put two and two together. The fact Hamlet has been acting very strangely, Hamlet's close association with the players, and the fact this play imitates to a T how Claudius murdered his brother. I'm going to stop here. Okay. Claudius didn't sell his soul to get the crown to let a little pipsqueak. I'm going to start that again. Claudius did not sell his soul to get the crown. Claudius did not sell his soul to get the crown just to let a little pipsqueak like Hamlet spoil his plans. And Claudius may have to come up with a cunning plan of his own to get Hamlet out of the way. But all that fun, we will have to wait until Act Three. I'm going to change that line. But we will have to wait till Act Three for all that fun to play out. On a personal note, I went back and re-memorized this soliloquy for this episode. After explaining what it means, I thought I would perform it, but it would take too long. Instead, I will release a special episode with just this soliloquy and see how you like it. But before we close, do you remember the line for today? The play's the thing. Very good. Once more, the play's the thing, and third time pays for all. God, fuck. But before we close, do you remember the line for today? The play's the thing. Very good. Once more, the play's the thing, and third time pays for all. The play's the thing. An extra credit. Wherein I'll catch the conscience of the king. Yes, the play's the thing wherein I'll catch the conscience of the king. Well, that's about all for tonight. Remember, please hit like, please hit subscribe. Please leave a comment below as to your thoughts and ideas. And if you would be so kind as to donate to this program, please go to brushupyourshakespeare.org and click the donate button. If you can make a monthly recurring donation of $5, that would be fantastic. If you can make a monthly recurring donation of $5, that would be fantastic. If you can donate $10 or $20 a month, so much the better, whatever you can afford. Your contributions will keep Brush Up Your Shakespeare coming to you on a weekly basis. And please join me again next time for Brush Up Your Shakespeare, where we begin Hamlet, Act Three. Thank you for joining me. Good night. All.